station for the 2022 Inter-Dominion Championships.
All set. Green lights on. They're racing.
RSN, racing and sport.
25 minutes to 11. I was glued to my Tab app last night watching the Inter-Dominion heats at Shepparton. So many close finishes and courageous performances in tight finishes as well. Honolulu Bay was probably the one that jumped out at me for sheer bravery. And Honolulu Bay's driver came out afterwards. What's his Christian name? David Moran basically came out and said he slaughtered it, yet it still won. So there was a lot of motion during the night and some amazing finishes. And the Trotters all won, and that parlay from Ryan Phelan's got up. And so Ryan's absolutely cashed up, and he joins me. How are you, Ryan?
Good morning, Matt. Look, it was just such an exciting night of racing. Mile racing sometimes can be a bit rocks and diamonds, but last night it really delivered, particularly in the Pacers heats. It was just enthralling. So, look, the picture's a little bit clearer now, Matt, this morning, just with what horses will be getting there to the final. I think we've got a threshold of horses that will definitely make the cut. There's a few that are on the cut line that need to perform on Saturday night in both the Pacers and the Trotters, but yeah, last night really was something to behold.
And the race that, because we spoke about it in such depth and speculated on what would happen when the gates sprung back, was the Better Eclipse Bundoran and Honolulu Bay contest for the lead in that heat. And what fascinated me was that David Moran, after saying to us that he, because there was more of the series to go and he didn't want to gut Honolulu Bay, that he wouldn't press on forever. But he yielded very quickly, didn't he? And then ended up in a kind of a disastrous spot, really. But it was such a courageous win. But those first battles when the gates sprung back were absolutely fascinating all night, weren't they? Because that's where the stories of the race began, and a lot of them were told right there and then, weren't they?
Absolutely. And we spoke so much yesterday on your program, didn't we, Matt, about speed maps. And I guess that's such a major part of harness racing and getting those right. And I don't know whether there was many people that actually got those speed maps right last night. And the ones we did get right, like, for example, I Cast No Shadow, who was able to find the lead, was actually disappointing. And then ones we didn't think would find the lead, like Spirit of St. Louis, who was terrific in finding the front, was very strong. And then there was the race with Better Eclipse and Honolulu Bay, and neither of those were able to find the top end. It really threw a cat amongst the pigeons as far as the maps were concerned. But you mentioned Honolulu Bay. He was the clear standout last night. There were question marks on this horse's strength going into the series, Matt. So much so, he now leads the Pacers division. He's the only horse in the Pacers that has won both heats. So he sits on top of the leaderboard at the moment on 32 points. Act Now and Mac Dan are on 27 points on the second line. Expensive Ego, 26. Better Eclipse, 25. Nor Attack Prince, 24. Spirit of St. Louis, 23. And Beyond Delight, 21. Now, that's 11 horses, and I reckon that's the cut line at the moment for the Pacers. Just below there is horses like Bundoran, Zeus Bromac, and interestingly, Majestic Cruiser, who was a one-time favourite for the Pacers final. So he's really got a big task ahead of him on Saturday night. So the Pacers division is certainly intriguing as far as who will line up, but just with the horses that I've named there, it's going to be an absolutely thrilling final. In the Trotters, Just Believe has won both of its heats, so it's on top of the leaderboard on 32. Then Bolt for Brilliance and Queen Elida on 29. Mufasa Metro, 26. Nephew of Sunoco, 24. O Fortuna and Majestuoso, 22. Always Ready and Hatchback, 20. And Sundon's Courage, 19. So that's, I reckon, the cut line there of about 10 horses. And then we get to Saturday night, and then it's a lot of horses pulling out all stops to try and make the cut into the final. It sets up for an exciting Saturday night.
I'm just wondering whether some of the big performances last night were almost too big. Did Honolulu Bay, for instance, have the run that David Moran didn't want him to have, the gut buster?
Well, I went into this series, like a lot of people, thinking, okay, he might be good over 2,200, and probably the mile is going to be his best trip, and where he was going to be most vulnerable is where he gets to Geelong on Saturday night over 2,600, and then the longer trip again at Melton for the final. But what this horse has proven throughout this series so far is his strength. The thing that we thought was the chink in his armour, the fact that he was able to sit three wide last night off a really fast time. They went 153.7 and the last half was absolutely scintillating in around, what was it, 55.3, I think. So, you know, that's pretty strong. You would normally say that's a gut buster and you're worried about that for the final. I think Honolulu Bay will again win his heat on Saturday night just by virtue of the way that the draw is. And you've really got to respect Emma Stewart as a trainer and Clayton Tonkin, because the way that they condition their horses, they're ultra fit, their recovery system is terrific. They'll get Honolulu Bay back on track for Saturday night, as they will all of their other charges. And I think they're certainly the team to beat going into Saturday night and indeed the final.
All right, that quest continues. Now, my terrible faux pas, you know what I did last night? I went to bed before Bolt for Brilliance and I assumed he won and I assumed the parlay got up. And then I just checked your notes and I realised, oh, hang on a minute, he actually got rolled. So your parlay did not get up, young man. So what was the story?
How many times do you see that where the shortest leg of your multi gets rolled? It was $1.15 and it was the greatest certainty beating you've ever seen. So Bolt for Brilliance settled a little worse than midfield and everything was going to plan. So when Tony Herlihy pulled out three wide with the trial with about 600 metres to go, he reached down for the earplugs. So there's what the earplugs are, they're some soft sponges that go in the horse's ears so they block out the noise. And then when you reach down and you pull the string, it pulls out those earplugs. And then all of a sudden the horse hears the noise and it just sparks up its attention, almost like blinkers, I suppose, or sliding block eyes or something like that. And it just gets the horse focus and gives it that extra zip. Well, he's gone down to pull the earplugs and the cord's broken. So as he's reached down to pull that cord, the horse is then hung in, he's locked wheels, he's lost ground of about 2-3 lengths, which was absolutely crucial at that point of the race. The horse had no right whatsoever to finish as close as it did. It was beaten a half head on the line in the end. But it was interesting, Matt, after that heat last night, we said that $2 was a good price yesterday. Tab actually put him out after that heat to 250 for the final, and soon as that was put out to 250, it was absolutely crunched. He's into $1.90 this morning. So, yeah, extraordinary.
Was that just a total misfire from the Tab, where the market, the individual who set up the market didn't realise the circumstances of the defeat? Because after that defeat, he should have actually firmed the fire for the final, not drifted.
And that's what we all said last night on the coverage, and we were reaching for our phones to get on pretty much, and I think a lot of people were doing the same. But, Matt, what we really need to single out from last night and indeed this series so far is just the achievements of, well, firstly, let me say the females. In the Pacers heats, do you know that each of the Pacers heats has been trained by a woman? Which is quite extraordinary. Yeah. I don't think that's ever happened in Inter-Dominion history. And the top of that tree is Emma Stewart. Now, Emma Stewart has won four of the six Pacers heats. She's got the top three qualifiers. She's had nine top three finishes in the Pacers. And she's going to most likely qualify five horses for the final. Now, the only other trainer to do that in the history of the Inter-Dominion was Mark Purden, and that was in 2019. So there's often the conversation, what does Emma Stewart and Clayton Tonkin have to do to be mentioned in the same breath as the likes of Mark Purden and Natalie Rasmussen and Luke and Belinda McCarthy? Well, the answer's pretty simple. They've won all of these Group 1 races, over 100 Group 1 races now at 2-, 3- and 4-year-old level. Yes, there's been some free-for-all levels as well. If they win an Inter-Dominion, they then become bona fide superstars of the sport of harness racing. They are in that echelon of the likes of Purden, Rasmussen and McCarthy. This is a watershed year for Emma Stewart and Clayton Tonkin, and they're certainly well poised to win the Inter-Dominion of 2022 and again break further records.
Yeah, it would kind of be a moment in time appropriate for them. They've been dominating locally and in the age-restricted races for a long time, but if their legacy was to be absolutely monumental, this is the time when they needed to expand that dominance.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, they're well poised to do so. Look, we spoke about Honolulu Bay, but even horses like Act Now, who is a four-year-old and has progressed this level so brilliantly, is now going to be a short price favourite on Saturday night for its heat. Honolulu Bay and Act Now have been the two surprise packets for me in this series. Mac Dan, their other key stablemate, it's won at Grand Circuit level before winning in Newcastle Mile. So we know Mac Dan is that quality. And then you've got horses like Beyond Delight as well, and Noratak Prince, who have really progressed to this level. So it's kind of going into the series, it was the unknown with a lot of Emma Stewart runners, but they've just proven themselves at this top level, and it's going to be really exciting to see what they can do in the final.
Just before we take a break, and then we're going to come back with Greg Sugars, who I've got a bit of a connection with, hometown back of Smarsh, Jess Tubbs, his wife, daughter of the legend Alan Tubbs, who was a great mate of mine for many, many years in Bacchus Marsh, including when I used to work for him at the stock feed store. So lovely connection there to the Tubbs family. Just before we
Alan Tubbs, yeah, one Alan of the great Tubbs. Men, and just any time you speak his name in harness racing, he's just revered.
Yeah, no, Tubbsy was a great mate, and I remember his mum Barbara and his wife Kate, what a lovely family. Just the ones that and now have to really pick up from last night. We've spoken about the ones who, like Honolulu Bay, who really stuck their hand up. But are there some that are now had high profiles before the series began who are now really chasing?
Yeah, absolutely. Majestic Cruiser is the big one. He currently sits on 18 points, so he needs a top three finish to get into the final. And I really want him to get into the final, because if he does, I think he can win it. So it's ironic to say a horse that's on the cut line and may miss out can win the final, but I absolutely think he's a strong chance. So it's a big watch on Majestic Cruiser on Saturday night. To a lesser extent, probably horses like I Cast No Shadow, you could say, has maybe been a little bit disappointing. Maybe Max Delight hasn't had the best of luck, even though it ran third on last night. And then in the trotters, look, the horses that we expected to be thereabouts are there. The one that has been disappointing, and we'll talk to Greg Sugars about it in just a moment, has been One Overall. He was an odds-on favourite for round one, and he did things wrong, and last night he just didn't fire a shot. So I'm sure Greg will be disappointed about One Overall, but he'll be buoyed by the chances of a couple of other key runners that he has in both the paces and the trotters.
Absolutely. Just hold the line, mate. It's 13 minutes to 11. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with Greg Sugars.
Just believe into the final, Ben, getting away on Majestuoso. Then came Hatchback trying to rally on, but it's Just Believe clear of Majestuoso. Then Hatchback, but the leader is Just Believe. He's cruising along and will win again. Good battle, the miners. Hatchback will get through to second, but it's Just Believe softly. Just Believe first. Hatchback.
Yeah, he's playing a major role in the series, Greg Sugars, along with his wife, Jess. Sister of Amy, with very strong chances in both the Trotters and the Pacers series. And he joins us this morning. Good morning, Greg. Things are looking tracking along nicely for your stars, Better Eclipse and Just Believe.
Yeah, that's exactly right. No, it's been a great start to the series for us. And, you know, we've probably been pretty lucky with barrier draws too thus far. And, yeah, hopefully you haven't used all their luck up too soon.
Good morning, Greg. Ryan Phelan here as well. Yeah, the barrier draws, you spot on, even looking at Saturday night. Just Believe, barrier one. One Overall, barrier one. Mind you, that might not be so great for him. A Better Eclipse, barrier three, and Triple Eight, barrier five. It's been quite unusual to have such a good run of barrier draws.
Yeah, absolutely. No, certainly not going to complain about it, but like I say, probably next weekend's when it really counts for us. So, we're happy with what we've been dealt so far, and the horses have been able to capitalise on it.
And Greg, let's look ahead to Saturday night, Heat 7 of the Inter Dominion Trotting Championship, and Just Believe sits atop the Trotters tally at the moment as far as the point score is concerned. Winning both heats has just been brilliant throughout this series. Now, some breaking news this morning. This was courtesy of Mick Guerin in the box seat that Tony Herlihy will not drive Bolt for Brilliance this Saturday night. It will actually be Josh Dickey driving Bolt for Brilliance in the Inter Dominion Trotting Championship against Just Believe. Now, you've drawn one, Greg, and Bolt for Brilliance has drawn two. Just your thoughts on the speed map there and obviously over the longer trip and just with the change of driver on Bolt for Brilliance.
I'm not sure what the reason behind that is. I wasn't aware of that. But
he's gone to New Zealand. There's a couple of kids he wants to drive on the Sunday.
Oh, fair enough. I'm sure that, Josh will handle him very, very well. I know he's staying at that Josh and Sammy's place at the moment with that horse, so he'll know what he needs to do, and I'm sure he won't lose much in the way of driving ability there. So, tactics are going to be interesting. I'm not exactly sure what we're going to do yet, we're really happy with the way our horse is placed, and we don't think the long trip's going to worry him in any way, shape or form. So, really looking forward to see how we measure up against a horse like Bolt for Brilliance.
And obviously, when you lead in heats and you're so dominant, there's some perception from some that he could be a little bit one-dimensional and he needs to lead. Is he just as good off the pace, Just Believe?
Yeah, I think so. No, he's shown really good speed in the short time he's been with us. He won up the sprint lane, won the Shepparton Cup in the very fast closing sectionals. The other night when he sustained a flat tyre, he still hit the line in a low 27 quarter himself, coming three wide, dragging a flat tyre the whole way. So there's no doubt that he's a versatile horse, and he's not a one-trick pony. And if it turns into a situation this week or even next week in the final where he won't be out in front and dominating the field, I'm not concerned about that. I think he's able to adapt to whatever he needs to do at any given time.
Yeah, it's a great heat. Just Believe 260 and Bolt for Brilliance 140. I personally think that's the sneak preview of who will win the final the following week. And Greg, you also have one overall in the Trotters coming up with Barrier 1. He's a $9 chance and currently on the third line, Majestuoso, $1.80 from Barrier number 5. Look, one overall, he's probably disappointed you through this series. I think it's fair to say we know the ability that this horse has. Just on his performance last night, what did you think of that and Barrier 1 Saturday night?
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks around him, to be completely honest, even from us here. Obviously, his form, this preparation in the Country Cups was outstanding. Some of the runs he'd put up and the times he was running over the long trip we were wrapped with, but obviously making a mistake round one at Ballarat. We sort of put a line through that run after he chased. He sort of didn't really finish the race off, and we were just hoping it was the early burn that sorted him out there. And
am I to read into what you're saying there, Greg, that he may not run Saturday night one overall? Am I to read into what you're saying that he may not run Saturday night one overall?
Oh, no, he'll go round. Like, he's come through last night's run pretty well. But, I didn't think he ran at his optimum last night. But the pleasing thing was he did handle the mobile positions. He did trot all the way. And he was finishing off okay, but I just don't think quite where he was, say, a few runs ago.
And Greg, in the paces, race 6, number 3, Better Eclipse. Oh, gee, I just love this bloke. I wonder whether the series with the good draws with him have actually been to a disadvantage with you with Better Eclipse, because I just think he's so devastating with off the speed with a sit and sprint. You've probably had to force your hand just with these draws to probably drive him a little bit more forward. He's a $2.50 chance against Honolulu Bay, who's $1.60. Just your thoughts on how his series has progressed and is he better with the sit in your mind?
Oh, look, he probably is ideally, or even just not, being used too much early. I think he's well and truly capable of making mid-race moves and doing a power of work late if he hasn't sort of spent too much petrol early. But having said that, obviously we're wrapped with his first night's run where he was able to find the front, controlled the race, dashed up the lane pretty good. And last night's run, I was still very, very happy with him. If I had my time again, I probably wouldn't have pushed through so hard, like right in the early stages. They were still sort of burning quick around that first turn when I was three wide, and I probably could have driven a slightly more patient race. But, he fought on really well and was only beaten a metre. So, we're very happy with the horse, and early signs say he's come through that run quite well. He ate up well overnight. So, we're still looking forward to the rest of the series for him, that's for sure.
And just finally, Greg, race 8, you have number 5, Triple Eight, who's an $11 chance and currently on the fourth line of betting there. He's currently 11 points in the series at the moment, with I reckon the cut line of about 11 being at 21. So he definitely probably needs a top 2 finish. Just your thoughts on him.
Yeah, look, we're actually wrapped with his performance in both these rounds of heats, but he just hasn't had any luck. He's been out the back. It's and hitting the line very strong, particularly last night. And it was a super fast last half, and he was just held up for so long, but, you know, finished off as good as anything in the race. He's short of points, unfortunately. It's going to make it pretty tricky for him to get into the final, of course. But, we think the horse is still going as good as ever.
Hey, Greg, well done with what you've achieved so far. Bacchus Marsh is proud of you. And, Ryan, he's sort of like in the, much-loved son type category now, along with me and a few others for Bacchus Marsh. So.
Oh, don't put yourself in the same bracket as the great Greg Sugars, Matt Stewart. Come on.
I think Greg's a bit of a sort of like an outsider of town. He's not really a downtown man either. So, hey, Greg, good on you, mate. Well done.
No, thanks a lot, guys. Really enjoying it. And, you guys are doing a great job with your coverage. It's greatly appreciated.
Good on you, mate.
Great series, Greg. Thank you.
Good on you, mate. Greg Sugars there. Saturday night, Ryan, at Geelong. Just give us a snapshot of what we can look forward to.
Yeah, so race three, Matt, we touched on it there with Bolt for Brilliance and Just Believe. Look, I just don't want to lean either way at the moment. I need to really think about that one race three a little bit more. Bolt for Brilliance, I want to back for the series, but I don't necessarily know whether he's a good thing in race three on Saturday night. Race four, Mufasa Metro is an odds-on favourite. I wouldn't be surprised to see this market switch around and Queen Alida number seven start the favourite there. I think they're the main two chances, but I'm going to be backing a horse at good each-way odds, number nine, Always Ready, in that race, who's a $17 chance, is going really well in the final of the Trotters Heats, which is race number five on the program. It looks as though that Majestuoso, even though it's been a little bit disappointing, does get its chance to win there. In race number six, which is the seventh Paces Heat, Honolulu Bay is a short price favourite, Better Eclipse at $2.50. I think over the longer trip with the sit, Better Eclipse can certainly take it to Honolulu Bay, but they look to be the two standouts. In race seven, which is heat eight, Act Now comes up a very short price favourite, number one, from, a great series so far, both being up on the speed and also off the speed. So its versatility has been terrific. But I'm just thinking number five, Expensive Ego, at $3.70. To me at the moment looks okay odds, but the one that looks better odds in that race is number 10, Majestic Cruiser. I think you'll find number one, Act Now, easing out a little bit before Saturday night. And in the final of the heats, race number eight, MacDan, I think he's a take-on job from barrier number seven at $1.85. Look, he may press on and find the front, but I just couldn't take those odds. I'd be looking more to the back row and horses like Nuratak Prince at $6 and to a lesser extent, Spirit of St. Louis. But, obviously a bit of water to go under the bridge as far as form is concerned ahead of Saturday night. But I think we'll find some percentage in some of those races and hopefully find some value, which I'll give to Warren when I chat to him on Saturday.
Absolutely. Well done, mate. Look forward to that. Thanks again for your coverage this morning to look back on those amazing heats, and looking forward to Saturday night at Geelong.
Yeah, Matt, it's always a pleasure to spend time with one of the royalty of Bacchus Marsh.
It's so it should be. Good on you, mate. It's a minute past 11. Time for a sports update with Hollywood.